WRHI Rock Hill.
Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 50 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road.
Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, today is the beginning of the new legislative session in South Carolina. All our House members and Senate members are down there, and as former Senator Wes Hayes used to say, run for cover, because you don't know what they're going to do. One of the big issues before the General Assembly, of course, is what to do about compensation for our teachers and all the other issues that are involved with the classroom. Sonny Perry is with us today. He's a board member of an organization called SC for ED. And Sonny, we thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so tell everybody a little bit about Sonny.
All right, well, my name is Sonny Perry.
Now, tell them real name now. Come on.
Well, my name is Rasan Perry. Everyone calls me Sonny. I've been an educator now for 4 years, going on five. I've taught math and science. I'm certified to teach math and science. Currently, I'm teaching high school Algebra 1 here in Rock Hill. I've also taught in Richland 2 in Columbia and in Fort Mill. So I've been kind of all over the state, seems like. I started wanting to be a teacher in the second grade, which is crazy for most people I know, right? I saw that. He's looking at me crazy.
Pretty cool.
But I've always wanted to teach. Went to Winthrop University to get my bachelor's degree in teaching, and I'm currently working on getting my master's degree from Queen's University of Charlotte in educational leadership.
Good for you.
Yes, sir.
And so if you get the master's, what do you do with educational leadership?
So my goal is to either go into administration or go into the district office. I like teaching, but I think I can have a larger impact doing more of the behind-the-scenes work, working with teachers, working on increasing our rigor in how we teach, working on improving schools, things of that nature. So that's my goal, is to impact education from a different standpoint, from a more leadership
standpoint. So let me ask you a broad-based question here. Mm-hmm. You've been in the classroom now how many years?
Four.
4 years.
Yes, sir.
Is it challenging?
It's very challenging.
What presents the biggest challenge to you? Now, be honest with me now.
I think we're in a society that is more diverse. So in a classroom today, it is very typical to see students who are at the very bottom of the spectrum and then students who are at the top. And so as a teacher, getting all of them to be at the same place without boring some of the ones that are at the high end or challenging the ones at the low end too much to where they give up, it's very challenging to meet every single student's needs. You know, we have students that come from very challenging backgrounds. Some of them are coming from, you know, being homeless. Some of them are coming from abusive households. Some of them, you know, are not eating every meal as they should. And so balancing all of those difficulties and building relationships and still being able to teach the child is very difficult.
Well, you and I had this conversation before we started the show, and I just wanted them to hear it from the horse's mouth, because you've got to be a lot more than an educator.
Absolutely.
To be in a classroom today.
Absolutely.
The other part of this is, unlike your own household, where you could take your own children and say, you're not going to do this, and you're going to be disciplined for this.
Correct.
Your hands are really tied in the classroom,
yes,
are they
sir.
Not?
Yes, sir. There's a lot of different policies out about discipline. You know, you get so many chances to do this infraction, so many chances to do this infraction. It's not like when you and I were growing up. You know, if you did this, it was wrong and there was a consequence. Now it's, you know, let's talk about it. Let's try this method. Let's try this. So we really, you know, our goal is to work with the child to help them understand how their actions are not appropriate at school, why they're not appropriate. But what we see is that the discipline seems to be out of control in our schools. And so that's That's really the number one issue that we see from our members with SE for Ed. We poll our members quite often. We have about 30,000 members, you know, in our Facebook group. In the last poll that we did, discipline came up to be the number one issue in front of teacher salary, which is, you know, very interesting. A lot of people think salary is why teachers are upset, but it's the fact that we cannot do what we need to do in the classroom because we don't have the resources, we don't get the support that we need, and we have discipline that is very difficult to control.
So you come from a family where you were disciplined.
Yes.
And your tendency in a classroom is to do how you were brought up to,
that's right,
to behave.
That's right.
Which is your discipline in your classroom.
Yes.
And when you do that, what happens?
Sometimes you get very upset parents. I know for me, I'm what I tell my students all the time is I look new school, but I run the classroom very old school. I had very good teachers growing up who, you know, this is what I expect in the classroom. This is what you're going to do. And that's very much how I run my room. Here are my expectations. Right. I have high expectations. You're going to meet them because I believe in you and this is what we're going to do. That can be challenging for some parents. You know, their students say the class is hard. And so, you know, the parents are contacting you wanting to know why the class is so difficult. Why are there so many notes? Why does my child have to do all this homework? But, you know, at the end of the semester, what I've realized about teaching is, at the end of every semester, I always get parents that thank me. My child learned so much. They grew. They talk about how much they love your class. And so, yeah, the beginning may be difficult, but understand that structure and discipline is needed to help the student grow and help them become a better person.
And my guess is those students who are smart enough to realize how much they have gained by being in your classroom probably can put two and two together and say, you know what, I may not have liked this discipline thing, but it the end result is the proof in the pudding.
Absolutely. And usually by the end of the semester, all my students, you know, you're my favorite teacher. Thank you so much for caring. I have never had a teacher that cared that much. And so I'm okay with parents contacting me. I'm okay with, you know, students thinking I'm too mean at the beginning or I'm too tough, because I know at the end, the growth result is what I'm looking for. And that's what matters the most to me. And I make sure that I build relationships with them and let them know that I love them and I care for them. But I'm also going to hold you to a standard that I know you can reach. So
I think that's good. Good for you. So you don't get, what would I call it? You don't get called to the principal's office. And no, you don't get that.
No, uh-uh.
they just send the complaint your way.
Right, right. And usually once I explain to them, you know, why I'm doing it, most parents are okay with it. It's been very, very few times in my career that I've had a parent that just absolutely didn't like me. And I think every educator can tell you that. I think we've all had a handful, you know, of parents that are like that. But for the most part, once you explain to them why I am the way I am or why I'm, you know, pushing your child, they tend to understand and they tend to appreciate it. So hopefully more educators are doing that. But I do know that it can get exhausting, you know, year after year dealing with it over and over and over again. It can be exhausting.
Where's my, yep. Well, you want to go into the central office and get out of the classroom. Probably, I got you. So I have one more question before we get into the topic.
Okay.
I mentioned to you again off air that right across the street here is Winthrop University.
Yes.
You graduated from there.
Yes, I did.
And I have friends of mine who were teachers over there. And their comments from some of them, not all of them, is that what they're dealing with as far as entering freshmen,
right,
into Winthrop University,
right,
is the kids are not prepared. The grammar is terrible. The discipline's terrible.
That.
You know, da da da. So, what do you say to those teachers who probably are looking at you and saying, "Why didn't you do a better job?"
I think it's a sort of a loaded question. I think it actually starts in the public school setting. I teach high school now, but I've done time in middle school, and so I know that often in public school we say, "You know, what were those elementary teachers doing? They sent us this in middle school." And middle school teachers, you know, say that about elementary. High school teachers say that about middle school. So it doesn't surprise me that college professors are saying that, you know, as well about public school. I think, honestly, just the systems that are in place right now in public education are taking away accountability from students. Students are not having to be accountable for their work. They're not having to be accountable for their attendance. And so you see students sort of lollygagging about school. So when they get to college and it's, you know, this is what it is or you're going to fail the course, that's not something that they're used to. A lot of times in public school, we just sort of see students get passed on. And so, you know, at the college level, when that doesn't happen, of course, it's, you know, they're just not prepared. So that doesn't surprise me. Know that it's not the teachers. We are with you. We are definitely trying to change those policies as well. But it's something that we see, you know, at the public school level, too. Our students just are not prepared the way they should be anymore.
Well, it all gets back to the family. If mom and dad would get their act together, I don't care what your background is, how poor you may be, or how well off you are. mom and dad have a responsibility. And if you can mold that child with that good old thing called discipline, so that they, when they enter school, they understand that there's respect for the teachers, you're there for a reason to get an education.
Right.
Wow. There are just so many good role models out there who have come from tough circumstances, who have done so well.
Exactly.
I mean, it can be done. All right. You didn't expect this, did you?
No, but it's a good conversation.
It's a good conversation. All right, you're with an organization called SC4ED.
Yes.
What is the organization all about?
So SC4ED started about a year and a half ago. We started really off of a whim. Our CIO, our chief investigative officer, Lisa Ellis, is a good friend of mine. She was actually one of my high school teachers. And once I started teaching, we continued to contact each other, and we met up and talked about the challenges of education. And one day in May, she created a Facebook group called SC4ED, and she just wanted to see if other teachers felt the way she did, just felt, you know, deflated about being an educator. And so she contacted me and said, hey, can you help me run this page? And I said, absolutely. And within a week, we grew to 1,000 members, and it just sort of grew and grew and grew a lot quicker than we were expecting. And what we ended up finding out is that across the state, teachers were dealing with some outrageous policies, procedures, just being bullied in the workplace. I mean, all sorts of terrible things. And so as we continued to learn more, we said, you know, we can't just sit here and do nothing. And so we, you know, put a board together, and we became a nonprofit organization here in South Carolina that focuses on education. And so our motto is educational empowerment through community and advocacy. And so our goal is to create a community of advocates that are empowered to fight for education.
So your membership went from 1,000 to how many now?
We're about 30,000. We're right under 30,000.
30,000 teachers are following every move you're making.
Yep. Unbelievable.
So this group, did you poll this group to figure out what it is that was irritating them about the classroom?
Absolutely.
So what were the poll results?
The last poll that we did had to do with our legislative agenda. So we have an 8-point legislative agenda for 2020. And we asked them, you know, out of the 8, which ones are the most important to you? And those were numbers 1, 3, 7, and 8, which is increasing salary 5% and adding salary steps to year 28, reducing testing in the classroom, providing more teacher work days, and modifying the uniform school start date.
I didn't hear you say anything about discipline in there. You told me number one, it was discipline.
Number one is discipline. We put that under, we kind of mix things. So we had to add some things together. So if you look at providing more teacher work days and reducing testing, a lot of that has to do with the Education Oversight Committee, which is another one of our points. But our goal right now is if we can reduce testing and provide more teacher work days, that gives teachers more time to plan, so we have more time to do strategies and things like that for students that have discipline issues. But that also gives time to move around money, because if you reduce testing, that saves money for the state that we can then put towards behavior intervention. So one of the biggest things that we hear is that we can't deal with discipline because we don't have money to afford mental health therapists. We don't have, you know, money to afford behavior interventionists. So if we can save that money, we can use that money to do things like that.
So you sit here on the first day of the legislative session, and you know as well as I do that the state is flush with cash.
Right.
$1.8 billion
right.
of new cash. Whew, that's a bunch of money.
It's a lot of money.
You also heard on the radio our House Majority Leader, Gary Simrell, saying that the new budget has got another 7% across the board.
Mm-hmm.
For all the teachers, that's on top of what they got last year, which was what, another was it $5,000?
So last year they raised the starting teacher salary by $5,000, or not by $5,000. They raised it to $35,000, I think it is now.
Yeah.
And then we saw a 4 to about 10% salary increase, depending on where you were in your career. If you were a new educator, you saw a much higher percentage salary increase. If you were a veteran teacher, you saw about a 4%. Now we asked for a 10% across the board, and as you can see, that did not happen. So I think a 7% salary increase across the board is a good starting place. That's more than what we're asking for. We're asking for 5%. But again, that means that it has to actually be a 7% and not a cap. Like if they do a $3,000 cap, that's not going to be 7% for a veteran educator who's, you know, 20 years in. However, we asked for a 5% salary increase, and to increase salary steps to year 28, because we know that our state employees, you know, our DSS workers, things like that, they have not seen raises in a long time, and they help us do our job. And so if there's not enough of them, it makes our job even more difficult, because we need our state employees that are working with children to be in their positions as well.
So let me get this straight. You were asking for 5%?
We asked for 5%.
Yeah, and 7% is good.
I mean, we'd be happy with the 7%, absolutely.
Okay, I wrote that down wrong. Okay. With all that being said, I sit here, and I've said this so many times on the air, we're in a state that is just blossoming, it's blooming. It's
right.
I mean, it's just busting at the seams with all types of new opportunities for
right.
industry. We've got Boeing, we've got BMW, we got, you know, you name it. We've got them all here. So they want an educated workforce.
Absolutely.
Somebody who's got the skills that you do with all the math and what have you. They want kids that are ready to go into the workplace. And to do that, to me, you need the brightest and the best.
Absolutely.
In the classroom.
Absolutely.
To put up with all the stuff we just talked about for the last 10 minutes. So it seems to me that the model, just the compensation model, just doesn't make any sense. It seems to me, even though they bumped it to 35 for starting, and maybe it's
right.
going to get up to 38, or maybe it's going to be 40, you're not going to, you know, Boeing is not going to be paying that kind of
correct.
Wage.
Correct.
They're going to be paying whatever, 10,000 more or 15,000,
right.
whatever it is. It seems to me that the push from your organization would be along the lines, hey, guys, if you want us to prepare for this work, get your workforce prepared, you need to have as good in the classroom as you've got out there in the line.
Absolutely. And that's something that we've mentioned several times. So we as a board, meet with legislators on a regular basis. We have our lobby day coming up on January 29th, where we've asked teachers to come join us at the State House and meet with their respective representatives, House and Senate. But one of the things that we've mentioned is, if you look at our top states in terms of education, they're also the highest paying states for education. Right now, we have a teacher shortage crisis here in South Carolina. So, you know, we're honestly taking whoever is, you know, certified and willing to do the job. But that doesn't mean that we're taking the best, if that makes sense. I think we have amazing teachers in South Carolina, but I definitely know that we do not have the best and the brightest, because a lot of the very good teachers that we've had have resigned. You know, they've retired, they've resigned, they've moved on. And like you said, you know, those Boeing companies and things like that, they're going to pay a lot more, and they're still in teachers.
All right, Sonny, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, Sonny, you've never seen this before, but here it is. We might do magical things here at Substation 2.
Okay.
Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. It's done by these white letters, and we all say it aloud together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Slice, slice. Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, joinfounders.com, or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company that 4 out of 5 insurance adjusters or agents surveyed said they would use Paul Davis to work on their own homes. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140. It is better to know Paul Davis Restoration and not need us than to need Paul Davis and not know us. 329-1140.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-through with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
Here's an idea from Substation 2 for your next business meeting.
Box lunches are perfect for your corporate outings. We include a 6-inch sandwich we put in a side. You can get chips, potato salad, macaroni salad. We throw in a cookie. You get some tea or lemonade with that. It's basically a complete meal in a box.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Jerry Road across from Winthrop. Sonny Perry is with us today. He's a board member of SC for ED. He's also a teacher right here in York County. I think he teaches at South Point High School.
I do.
He's a math teacher, which in itself is wonderful because it's a dying art, unfortunately. All right, so you're going to have your lobby day. And this, by the way, it's all about trying to get better compensation for the teachers, better work environment in the classrooms. Dealing with the discipline issue, you've got a list of five or six objectives that you're trying to get to. So on Lobby Day, January 29th,
yes, sir.
What are we going to do? We're just going to have a great big assemblage of people out on the steps again, or what?
So not this time. This one is not a rally. This is an actual Lobby Day to meet with our legislators. When we first started SC for Ed, one of the biggest things that we've heard from legislators was that they don't hear from teachers. Teachers don't vote. Teachers don't talk to us. We don't know what the issues are. And so one of our number one goals was to make sure that that is no longer the case. So we did our first lobby day last year. We called it Money Matters. And that one was, of course, about getting funding into our schools. And so we had a great turnout. About 450 people came. And so we're going to do that again this year. We're hoping for a larger crowd. But we will meet inside of the Blott building. We'll have a motivational speaker that'll kind of uplift the crowd, talk about how important education is, and talk about the importance of us working with our legislators. And then educators will have the opportunity to actually meet with their respective representatives. So they'll get information from us. We'll have handouts that'll tell them what we're fighting for, what we're wanting to see change with laws, a list of pre-filed bills that we want to see passed. And they'll have the opportunity to meet face-to-face with their representatives and talk to them about the issues they're facing and why these changes are so important.
Yeah. You would think that they would already know this. I mean
you know, when I heard that they didn't know what the issues were, I was very surprised.
Hello.
I feel like anyone in South Carolina should know at this point what the issues are, but we're making sure that that's no longer an excuse that they can use. You know what the issues are because we're telling you. We've attended all kinds of hearings last legislative session. I mean, we had 500 teachers attend the hearing about S-419, the education reform bill. So we know that they know now what the issues are, but we're going to continue to ensure that they know what the issues are so that when we get to another rally moment, they're not shocked that there's another 10,000 teachers on the steps of the State House.
It would be a mistake, yes or no, to assume that this is all about just compensation?
Absolutely. That's a mistake.
All right. Let's run through the other issues that you all need to be, you just want to address one way or the other.
Right.
What would be the next one after salary?
It would definitely be discipline. We know that discipline is the issue. We need more mental health counselors in our schools. We need behavior interventionists. We need to look at how discipline policies are laid out in our schools. That's definitely an issue. Another one is testing.
Whoa, let's just stop on the discipline
thing.
Has anybody ever thought about how about just giving the teacher the authority to take that unruly student and, I don't know, put them in the corner of the room or something and have them face out the window with all the other classmates around until they get their act together? I'm not talking about spanking the kid. I got all that. I understand that. But doing something called, we're going to discipline this classroom.
Right.
We're going to run this classroom the way you run your classroom,
Sonny. Right.
I mean, has anybody said, give us some authority to do that?
Absolutely. Again, I've worked in 3 schools at this point, and every school that I've been at, teachers have asked for more authority, the power to actually discipline students. But I think, again, with the society that we're in today, everyone is just so too happy that you have to be very careful about what you do, how you do it. You know, everyone has rights. And so it just sort of becomes this wheelhouse of, you know, we have to cover our bases, and the people above us have to cover their bases. And it's a never-ending story, sort of, that kind of ties everyone's hands.
But you have done it successfully in your own classroom.
Mm-hmm.
However you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call it the Sonny formula. I mean, it just seems to me that you could short-circuit a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need to hire all these people? I mean, that's if you allowed the teacher to do what they deem as necessary, short
right.
of any kind of corporal punishment,
right?
It seemed to me that'd be a logical first step.
I think, you know, from my end, I don't have a lot of discipline issues, but again, I'm very strict in my room. You're not walking around my room. You're not talking across the room. I just don't deal with that. But I also take the time to get to know my students. I have them write me letters. I write them back. So I get to know them personally.
Sure.
And so, you know, when I say, excuse me, we're not doing that, they don't feel threatened by me because they know it's coming from a good place. But even with that, I still have students that are dealing with so many adverse backgrounds that I just can't help them. I can't help, you know, that you spent 3 days outside. Those are things that they need counselors for. And we just don't have enough of that in our schools.
All right, so discipline is number two. What's
yes.
what's the issue number three?
Another one that we see is teacher retaliation. Teachers who are speaking up about things happening in the classroom, whether they're being attacked by students, whether they're being mistreated by administration, they're just sort of being bullied. And so that's another one that we're seeing. There's a bill out, H3215, the Teachers Freedom of Speech Act, that actually prohibits retaliation against teachers. We want to see that bill passed, and that was already on our agenda last year as well, so we're pushing hard for that one this year.
Jeez, I'm just sitting here with my jaw down. I just can't believe this kind of stuff's going on.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's insane.
It is crazy.
Write this down, Sonny. You never want me to be a substitute
teacher. I'll take that note.
Trust me. All right. What's be number four on the list?
We have reduced testing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in our elementary schools. One of my best friends is an elementary teacher, and she talks about how often she has to test her students. And again, that just takes away from the instructional time. If I'm constantly testing and testing and testing, I don't have time to teach my students. And so that's a big issue that we're seeing across the state.
Wasn't this partially dealt with last year on the testing? Maybe it didn't get through.
It was partially dealt with, but not to the extent that we need it done. So our goal is to get our state to look at federal guidelines and federal mandates and mimic those. We also want to see if there's a way that we can eliminate some of the testing by using like student portfolios and things of that nature. All that is covered with ESSA. And so those are things that we are looking at as well as SE for Ed.
So how many tests do you have to give? I'm not talking about tests for coursework.
Right.
How many of these tests that you do you have to give in the course of a year? You.
So let's see, we have, at the high school level, because I teach Algebra 1, we have the EOC, which is state mandated, and that's the only big test that I have at the high school level. So high school isn't as bad as the middle and elementary school levels. Now, when you get to middle school, you have the SE Ready and the SE Pass, and so there you're looking at about 4 to 5 tests, and that's just at the end of the year. That doesn't include the district benchmarks that are then pushed down across, I mean, that's across the state. Several districts now are doing the benchmarks. The MAP tests, you know, the reading tests, all of those things. So it's pretty heavy.
Okay. Website for more information? We have a website for
us? We absolutely do. For more information, you can always visit SC for Ed. That's SCFORED.org.
.org. Okay. Well, Sonny, you have represented your organization very well.
Thank you so much.
We had a chance to get to know each
Absolutely.
Other. I hope we can do this again.
I hope so, too. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, it would be very good. So we'll see what the legislature does.
Yes, we'll be there. Teachers are watching.
As former Senator Hayes used to say, run for cover because they're back in session. All right, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. How do we do it, gang? 1, 2, 3.
Life. Garden.
Well done. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.